Josiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Josiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is November 19th, 2015. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me, and I will pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. And there is another way to get a prayer request. You send me a letter with your address on it. We'll take it to the mission church, take it to prayer circle, anoint it with one. You can also send me an email with your return address on it, and we will do the same thing with it. Or you can call me. If you don't get me, try calling back. But anyway, the phone number is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You know, State Radio Program Archives and our mailing address and our blog, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And remember, we are a national satellite radio program, and we're simulcast live on the net. And so that makes us international, so pray about supporting us. Guys can also be found over there at prophecyhour.com. It's really smartphone-friendly. The archives are on the right-hand side. You scroll that did the Ezekiel code or the Ezekiel generation. He asked me, he said, well, how long do you leave the programs up? And I went, why? Do you want me to take it down? Because I don't ever take them down unless there's a real problem. You need to go to the store and make sure that you at least have a month's supply of food. Having said that, we make sure that you have, you really need to make sure that you have a year's supply of food for your family and for whoever might show up to your door. And I've been checking around on some of those, and this particular company is a major one that most people, talk radio people are using. It's called Wise Food, and you can find a link at prophecyhour.com. And here's a phone number for you, 855-977-9844. We shouldn't maybe go to a little break for a second so we can get our bearings. You see where we're at?
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Most Most people realize their body needs clean water to function properly. Pure is the cleanest water, also known as distilled water. Some frauds pushing fake science and ignorant people repeating their disinformation and half-truths will tell you distilled water leaches minerals from the body. What they fail to tell you is distilled water only attracts and flushes inorganic minerals from your body. These are minerals your body cannot process and can interfere with your proper body functions. Distilled water does flush these inorganic materials from your body and is an effective and natural way to cleanse your body. ABR sells a distiller that distills 1 gallon every 3.5 hours. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com, click on the superstore, go to the distiller, check the pricing and how to order, and watch the video explaining in detail why distilled water is pure water.
Prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Well, folks, tonight we've had a lot of technical problems, but tonight I'm going to bring on my special guest tonight, and which is my wife, Linda. Some people call her mom, some people call her grandma. Well, I just call her mom. So, Mom, are you on there with me?
Yes, I'm special, huh?
Yeah, you're a special, very special person. You want me to read to you what I was going to be your intro? Apparently we've had about 10 minutes or we've had almost 20 minutes of bad connections, and you know, one day the internet's just going to go off completely, and what do you think people's going to be at then?
Lost.
Oh, lost.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, hey, listen,
here.
You know, one thing that I didn't get done in my intro is I do want to say a prayer before the program goes on. So let me say a prayer real quick, and then we'll get right in and start talking. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that Radio Night goes according to your will and not mine, and give everybody out there ears in which to hear the truth, and just bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Folks, I'm talking live with my wife. It's a special program that was going to be our Thanksgiving program, and what I wanted to say about my wife that I didn't get to in the intro is I wanted to say this, that, you know, I was going to introduce her as the most critical person, other than myself, of course, that makes the Wichita Mission Church work. Without her, you know, it's just like there's no grease to the wheel. Nothing would work. It would grind to a halt. Having said that, and you heard the way I spoke about you, so are you there with me still, or did you decide to hang up?
No, I'm still here listening.
You're here listening?
Yeah. But you have operated without me being there before. You just have to call me a lot.
Well, that's very true. So, you know, everybody hears about, you know, this and that I do or whatever. So what's your job in this ministry anyway? For the people, of course I know, but. for the people? What do you do?
Really? Do you have time for the list?
We'll condense it a little bit.
Well, I keep everything on and rolling and operating. Without
that,
I don't know.
What do you mean by on and rolling? You know, let me say this about it. You know, when people ask me, I tell them it's like this with the electricity. If you ask me how that my electricity is on, it's because you flip a switch. The reality of that is that's because not only are you the cheap cook and bottle washer, as they call it, but you're also the person that takes care of when the money comes in. You make sure the bills are paid, everything stays on, and so on and so forth. Does that give a little better description of what you do?
Let me just put it like this. The Father says that we're supposed to be like Yeshua. Well, let me get this out right. My mind's going faster than my mouth. He has been molding me for the past 16 years to be just like him. And the story that I refer to is the fishies and the people. That's how I do it. I have very little to work with and it seems like the whole world to take care of. But the Father's in control. I just have to keep reminding myself of that. And yeah, I'm in constant prayer, I'll tell you that much.
Well, let's go with this. I was talking about, people buying storage food, which they could go to our website and do that, and the percent would help the ministry. But right now, storage food had turned out to be a real good thing for us at the Mission Church. You care to enlighten everybody what I'm talking about?
Yes, amen. There was a lady who has been supplying us with clothes through their secondhand store. They rotated them out, and they donated all the stuff that they rotated out to us to send out with the people. Well, they supplied and brought the clothes every month, two or three times a month, from an hour away, and for the past 3 to 5 years, in between there somewhere, but they both turned 83 this year, and they retired, so they sold their ranch house and their store, but the people that they sold their store to were from Enid, Oklahoma, and they made sure that they kept the same connection, only I have to drive twice a month to pick up the clothes. So when that day comes around twice a month, I drive 4 hours that day. I drive an hour from home to the church, then from the church to get the clothes an hour, then back to the church to unload, and then back home. By that was my day yesterday, so that wore me out. So anyway, what I was going to say about the lady is when they sold their ranch house, they had a complete storage for a 3-year supply of Y2K foods. Well, besides the meat and the bread that I get donated, the meat we buy from donations, but I catch sales and stock up, try to anyway. And then the bread I get donated from another source I don't want to disclose because I don't want to lose that source. But anyway, she donated her dehydrated foods, and for the past at least 6 months, we haven't had fresh vegetables or anything like that. Because I've been cooking with the donated food, with the Y2K foods, the dehydrated foods, and the fresh meat and fresh bread that I get. We haven't had eggs for a while. I just had a gentleman bring in 58 dozen eggs Tuesday, but most of those will be used for Thanksgiving. However, I am going to do egg sandwiches Friday because I want to treat the people. But, yes, I've been cooking with dehydrated foods for at least the last 6 months. Preparing soups and whatever I can. They ask me what's for dinner, and I say food.
Right. Amen.
Something with chicken or something with hamburger, whatever I'm using as meat that day.
Right. Well, you know what amazes me about what you cook, lately, like you say, you've been making a lot of soups, and it seems like there's a lot of vegetables and things in it, but that dehydrated stuff, if you hydrate it properly, it comes right back to almost to normal, right?
Right. Most of the people can't even tell that it's dehydrated food. The way I flavor it and everything, you can't even tell. Unless you see me put it in there, you can't tell that it's dehydrated. And the same way with the fruits, I've got I've got all kinds of fruits, bananas, apples, strawberries, oranges, you name it, I've got it, and raisins. And that's what I quit buying box cakes because I didn't have the money for groceries. So I buy a 50-pound bag of flour, and I make homemade cakes, which the people like a lot better anyway, but they're getting fruit cakes with whatever fruit I hydrate. That's what I make for. And it's also been going into our Sabbath bread for Fridays, too. So people at church have been getting treated to fruit Sabbath bread.
Yeah, amen. You said they've been getting fruit cakes, and I kind of laughed because I thought that with us they're getting fruit cakes anyway. But
hey.
I guess that makes sense.
I caught that.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, I don't know if you've seen it, but I put the mission update out where you girls were telling me not to come into the kitchen because y'all had knives. But
that was one day when the two pregnant girls was in there and they was cutting potatoes, and I had a butter knife in my hand, and you just happened to walk in there with all three of us and knives in our hands and snapped a picture. That's not an everyday thing.
Right. No, it isn't. But but most of the time I try to stay out of your way in the kitchen because that's your domain, and you know.
Well, I have to cook for anywhere from 40 to 80 people in an hour and a half. I get from 3 o'clock to 4:30 to have it done. So
right.
And that's not easy to do with dehydrated foods and have it taste right.
Yeah, so imagine that, from 3 o'clock to 4:30, and you make a meal that feeds anywhere from 60 on up people. That's a pretty amazing thing. And it tastes good, and it's great. And if it wasn't, they wouldn't keep coming back. It's just really wonderful. But, you know, you have been supplied with the knowledge and the know-how to do that, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, the Father picked the right person, amen.
Well, 16 years ago when we began feeding the people, we began with two ladies that did the cooking, and they knew how to do it for that many people. I was cooking for 6 people and never had cooked for that many people. And when they quit and left us up in the air, I said, well, we're going to go ahead and do it. And I told Father, I said, how do I cook for that many people? And I was scared to death that I wouldn't know how to do it. Well, today I don't know how to cook for 5 people. I've turned it around somehow. But
yeah,
it's a easy know-how for me. And then I'll have people say, well, I can help with dinner, and I'll make something and bring it. Well, they'll bring a dish that'll feed maybe 6 people, and I'm like, this isn't going to go around. We need enough for 60 plates. Oh, okay. So, yeah, it's a trick, and I don't ever let anybody walk away. If I run out of what I've made, then I always make sure that there's something that I can feed anybody that walks through the door. They don't leave, and that's just the way it's always been.
Well, you know, I noticed you said 60. Sometimes it's less, and sometimes it's more, much more than 60, isn't it?
It's never, it used to be, we used to get the numbers down at the first of the month. They used to get down to 14, 15, 18, but in the past 3 years, maybe 4 years, the number hasn't really went below 30. If I look in the book, I could tell you exactly, but I don't really think it's been below 38, and I know it hasn't been below 40 for the last year. So we feed 40 and up.
Well, right.
And Thanksgiving, I'm looking for about 128 minimum.
About 128 minimum. Yeah, exactly. And some days, for the record, folks, some days it's not just 60 people. It's over, especially towards the end of the month. It's over 60. So, you know, for the record, are we just, before we get into some Thanksgiving things, and by the way, folks, we're not going to break tonight. We're going to talk all the way through break. Seems how you had a break at the first, it was 20 minutes worth. Anyway, so going with this, we also serve sandwiches like from 1 to 3. You know, you're talking about, that's what it is. Who are we feeding? Is it just the homeless, or who else are we feeding?
Well, it's anybody that comes in the door hungry, but I had a gentleman that comes to our Friday night service point out to me that, he noticed just by his observation that we've been feeding the whole neighborhood. So it's attracted the neighborhood, the poor. Anybody that comes in the door that's hungry, we feed them and we give them clothes. There's a clothes closet. There's a phone. They can make a phone call to anybody in the United States free of charge and talk to them 15, 20 minutes. And if nobody's wanting to use the phone, they can talk for an hour if they want to, as long as nobody else is wanting to use the phone. But I ask them to be courteous of everyone else, which some people will, some people won't. It's a homeless outreach, so I make sure that everybody knows they have to watch their own stuff. If it's not chained down, it could walk off. That's just the way it is. Not everybody's saved, and we can't help that, but we can take care of them just like the Lord called us to do. Yeah. He called us to feed them. We feed them. We're not there to figure out their, that's their personal business between them and the Father. We're just there to feed them a meal and make sure the clothes are on. And if we had the way to give them the blankets, we could get the blankets. If we had storage for 5,000 at a time, we could get the blankets from the government to give them to them. But we ran the place that was storing the blankets that we were getting them from. They sold the building or something. I'm not real sure. You know the story behind that, but we didn't get blankets this year. So everything that we've been getting has been going out. I can't keep coats. I can't keep coats at all. They've been, I think they've been using them for blankets.
Well, let me point out the blanket thing, and for the people, what we were there's a place where the government a few years back, for a long time, they had a FEMA program, and through the Air Force Base, the government were giving away free emergency blankets, and we, the size branch, from the distributor that was one of the agencies, gave us the last of the free emergency blankets, and so I've checked with all the agencies. Either they won't tell me the number, but they were even looking to me to get the phone number. It looks like that emergency free blanket program doesn't exist anymore, at least not in Wichita, Kansas, or Kansas that we can find. If somebody knows the free emergency blanket number, then let us know about it. But for the record, nobody's getting free emergency blankets. In fact, the one that was distributing them now is buying them, and so they're having to buy theirs, and we can't afford to buy them. So, folks, if you're in Wichita area, and I know one of our biggest listening audiences, Mom, is in Wichita, at least for the podcast downloads that comes after this live program. Our biggest audience is in Wichita, and so I say to you folks that are in Wichita, you know, pray about it. If you got extra blankets laying around, bring them in the door. As soon as you bring them in the door, they will be gone almost instantly. And so going off of that, so you're going to feed over 128 people. But you know what? I'm the one that's been noticed that monitoring the donations, unless you got something that I didn't know about, the donations this year for Thanksgiving are just really, really practically non-existent. What about that?
I have had nothing. Well, I have one donation of $150 come in, and I think a small one of $25, and I don't know, maybe another one. I'm not sure. I haven't checked with you yet, but I haven't got any turkeys at all this year at all. Last year I had 4 in the freezer. This year I have none in the freezer. Last year we cooked 18 turkeys altogether, and I have 4 left that I served out after Thanksgiving, but we used all the turkey from last year, and this year I'm putting down 12 that I need cooked right up front, and then if any extra come in. And usually people don't donate or bring in the turkeys to the last minute, and I'm going to have to start cooking them next week. So I'm hoping something comes in the next 3 days, because if not, then the Lord's going to have to find me a way to find some turkeys. And I've had a few years, and even the homeless bring me their, they go to food banks, or the poor people, they go to food banks, and they bring me their turkeys to cook for Thanksgiving. So there may be some come through the door tomorrow. I won't be able to tell until I get there. But the 128 number that I've been saying is just a guess. I can't guarantee that's how many. There may be more, there may be less, but that's how many I want to prepare for is 128. So far, all I have now is the potatoes. I have the potatoes and the eggs and the bread to make the dressing. So right now I have the potato, and I have the flour to make the gravy, because I'll make it from scratch. So I just need the turkey broth. I need the turkeys first.
Yeah, turkeys and but it'd be nice to have some fresh vegetables for Thanksgiving. You know,
I'm sorry. I just had the cranberry sauce thought. So I had a lady that lives around the corner that they go to the food bank a lot, and they have a case of cranberry sauce that they donated to me. So I have the cranberry sauce.
No comment. I won't talk about that one can of cranberries. Anyway, but let's go with that. I'm going to address the folks in Wichita again because I know you folks are going to be listening. So, you know, folks, pray about it. If you don't agree with us on our Messianic holidays and all those things, Thanksgiving, and this goes out to everybody, Thanksgiving is one day that we can all agree on. I mean, come on. We're giving thanks to the Father for all the things that He's given us this last year and beyond that. And, you know, we give them a family Thanksgiving, you know. What about that? Like, you know, we have so many people ask us, they say, well, when is your Thanksgiving dinner? Well, it's on Thanksgiving, you know. But that's a shock to most people because the agencies and everybody are mostly, they close. And, you know, they don't give Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving. So how come we do it and nobody else does? I mean, you know, why'd you give up Thanksgiving, Mom?
It's just a decision that we made 16 years ago. We were feeding, and we wanted to make sure that the people we were feeding had a Thanksgiving dinner. So we just said, come on, kids, we'll have our Thanksgiving at the church. And we've been doing it every year since. The first one we had was in 2000, and this is 2015. So this makes our 16th Thanksgiving dinner with the people.
Yeah, amen. And so, folks, you know, I love Thanksgiving at home. You know, like I said in other past radio programs, it's a time where you get overstuffed and you want to go to sleep, or you watch something on TV and fall asleep in front of it, or, you know, you see relatives you haven't seen in a while. And you know, it's a wonderful thing, but, you know, it's a wonderful thing. Yeshua even said, when you call a feast, don't call the rich, but call the poor. Bring those people in, and you'll be blessed. You know, you'll be blessed, but you won't be blessed here. You'll be blessed in the after, you know. But that's right. The point. You know, we're not supposed to give the people of abundance. We're supposed to share the peace according to the Scripture with the people, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's the way it's supposed to be done.
Yeah, so, you know, if any of you folks, now back to the people in Wichita, if any of you folks in Wichita want to bring something, you know, I challenge you, bring it in tomorrow or come and tell us that you're going to bring something or come and talk to my wife. You could bring some pies or cakes or, you know, some of it. Look, the Thanksgiving dinner is just like your one at home. What you eat at Thanksgiving for dinner is what we eat at the Mission Church for dinner, and that's what the homeless and poor want. So we're not only taking care of the poor, the homeless people, of course, which are poor, but we're taking care of the poor people in the neighborhood we're in. And are we, what, in the best neighborhood in the world over there, Mom?
I'm sorry, what was your question?
I said we're in the best neighborhood in the world, right?
Oh, yeah, we're in the ghetto. Oh, my goodness. No, I was thinking about when you said come and tell us you'll bring something, I was thinking I wanted to respond to that and say, no, please don't do that. Just bring it, because I've had so many people say, I'll do this and I'll do that, and it never comes to manifest. So I'd rather you just bring it and not tell me you're going to do it. Just do it.
Yeah, amen. But I say, if possible, you know, it's nice to know ahead of time that you say, hey, I'm on my way. But, you know, whatever you bring, there's no, what about that? Could if everybody showed up with stuff, would it be too much?
Oh, no. Everything that comes, if the Lord put it on your heart to bring it, He's putting it on somebody else's heart to come and get it. So everything that comes through the doors goes out the doors to a good cause, to a good person, to where it was meant to go.
Yeah, and that's a pretty amazing thing, you know, because I have people call me on the phone. They say, they always go, well, can you use this or that? Or like somebody, I don't know if I told you the other day, they called me and they wanted to drop off some blankets. But after they said the blankets, they said, well, can you use some padded bed sheets? And I'm going, okay, here we go with the song and dance. Okay, well, actually, I can't use them, but if you bring them, somebody will need them. Somebody that comes in will need them. Just like, and you said it better than I ever thought about. If the Father puts it on your heart, to bring it, then he's going to put it on somebody's heart to come and take it. And that's the best way I've heard it described yet. I don't know if I like having you on radio. You're making me, you're showing me up.
Well, and I've even had people tell me that, I don't know how I found you, but I was on the internet searching, and the Lord just led me to your site. So the Lord does lead you to us. If you're supposed to come and see us, then you come and see us, and we'll figure, the Lord already has it worked out. We don't have to figure it out. He's got everything figured out. Everything belongs to him. He runs everything. You just got to listen. That's hard sometimes because we get ourselves.
Yeah.
We get ourselves trying to tell us what to do, and then we get off and listen to what God wants us to do, and then we get ourselves in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything was going fine until I got myself into it. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. This place is wrong about you. You can't say that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I wasn't really talking that way, but I mean, you know, when we try to interject what we think into things, then it seems like it messes up. But when we relax and let the Father do it, you know, you can really see the, you know, I don't know about you, but I can, I can really see the flow of things, you know, and how it goes that, because we have nothing, you know, well, let's go with that. Are we a rich family?
Oh, no, we're in poverty. We're poverty.
Yeah.
I don't want to disclose all of our personal information, but we are in the poverty part of it. We're not in no class. We're not in the middle class or the high class. We're in the low class. We're in the poor feeding the poor, taking care of the poor. The Lord takes care of us is all I can say.
Yeah, amen. You know, I just had a statistic that came out just before radio that somebody pointed out to me. There were brand new numbers released by Social Security, and this came from a place called themostimportantnews.com. But anyway, it says 50% of all workers in the United States make less than $30,000 a year. And well, let's just go backwards with this thing. The total of 71% of the people in the United States make less than $50,000. Out of that, 62% make less than $40,000. Out of that, 51% make less than $30,000. And out of that, 38% of all American workers in the United States, 38% make less than $20,000 a year. And so, you know, it isn't a wonder that when we open the door and it's a relaxed atmosphere that, you know, people come in, they need to eat.
That's the class, that last one you read is where I've been all my life. Yeah, the most I ever made when I was working was 21, so I can believe it. I don't know how people make it on minimum wage. That's why there's so many homeless people, because the rent is just so high. I can't believe how much a one-bedroom apartment costs to rent. It's just outrageous. I don't know how people make it. I don't.
Amen. And if they have a roof, it's hard, you know, then it isn't a wonder that they have to go someplace to eat, you know, or to get clothes, or to get the other things that we're talking about. So, you know, when we say that, you know, we're a mission church or church with a homeless outreach, you know, it goes well beyond homeless. And, you know, that picture of, while there is some homeless people that push shopping carts, you know, and look that part, most of them aren't, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's just people that are down on their luck because of the economy. And this is Obama's economy. I will pin it on him. Anyway. Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to say, hang on, I've got a little message I want to tell the people, and then I'll get your input on it. You know, folks, while we're Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving seems to be almost gone in the sense that now stores are open up right on Thanksgiving Day, and everybody forgets about dinner and family time and all that, and they rush down to the store and wait outside for it to open so they can get special sales and all that thing because they're buying presents for December 25th. And we won't talk about tonight's program or whether or not about Christmas, but the point is this Thanksgiving is being taken away, but I want to give you a special word of warning, folks. You know, this terrorism thing is a very real reality. after this Paris thing that happened, they've caught several people coming across the border with the intent of doing harm to the United States, to the people inside. The FBI has put out warnings for the holidays, and that means, you know, next Friday, when you are, if you're out and you're one of those people, I'm not condemning you if you're out and you're waiting to get a special deal or something, if that's what you're doing, just be careful because, you know, just like they hit in Paris, what did they hit in Paris? They hit kids that were mostly under 30. They were either at a soccer game or at a bar or something, you know, or actually at a concert, and they just opened up with machine guns. Do you think that all of you folks in the United States that if they decide to do it in the United States, that you're not going to be prime targets at these stores with overcrowded numbers waiting? Any place that's a crowd is a dangerous spot. So you need to really pray about it before you go to any crowded place over this holiday period of time, because we have evolved into another time. And this, you know, just like the devil was mad because he only had a little while, and so he'd seen what he could destroy. You know, it's the same way with ISIS. You know, ISIS is starting to be attacked by Russia, and the rest of the world is starting to really take notice of them. And so they're mad, and they're going to intensify everything that they do before they can be cut off. And so I'm just implore all of you to be careful. Make sure, and I was trying to say this at the first of the radio program, make sure that you can shelter in place. That means being able to shut your doors and at least be able to feed your family for a month. And I'm not saying this because I want you to go out and buy storage food, because in my next sentence, what I'm telling you is I want you to, if you don't have that, you need to go to the store this weekend and make sure that you have enough so that you can shelter in place, enough food that you can even cook, and, you know, that will, you know, won't go bad if the freezer goes off, but that you'll have some things to be able to feed your family. And you don't have time to buy it from a storage place or something like that and have it come in the mail or wait on a waiting list. You need to get to the store and have it now because you need to be able to protect your family. Having said that, if you did decide that you want to buy storage food, I believe that you ought to have your supply. It's good. It doesn't go to waste. Just like I say, we're using storage food. You can even donate it later if you think that the all clear sign is there. But use that, get storage food, and a good place to do it is Wise Foods. You can find a link for it on our website, and there's a phone number on that link, and you call them and talk to them and work out a deal with them. They've got some good things. But really, I want you to be safe, so you need to be prepared. Do you think, Mom, am I being crazy? Do people need to have enough for just be able to stay in for a few days, or am I just being stupid?
Well, I'm a firm believer in stocking food. I've always had at least, at the very least, a year's supply of food to eat. It doesn't. I can't say that I've always had that because when I was a teenager, But anyway. In my later years, after I had children, I've always supplied. I learned from my mom that if you find a sale, get it. That's why I'm at, just like her. And recently, I've tried to stay out of Walmart because I don't have the money to go in there. So I like the sales, and I like to stock up when I get the sales because everything's just sky high. And back to the ISIS thing, what I noticed out of the thing that happened is that they are targeting our children and our young people. That's the ones they're taking out.
Yeah, and that's horrendous. Here comes our wonderful train.
I heard that.
Well, you know, it got you know what, Mom? It got louder. It didn't used to be as loud as it is now, and that happened about 5 months ago when they had that train wreck on the other part of the country, that horrendous train wreck. Well, Congress turned around, Mom, and gave them more money so they could get a new braking system so they could stop the trains faster. Well, they haven't. Yeah, well, I think they spit it on horns because they really got loud later, and I don't think they've replaced the brakes yet. But they really did.
I've heard two or three people in town say the same thing. Yeah, and they are louder. You can definitely tell they're louder. It's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like it's coming through the thing. I used to try, and once in a while I'll try and reach up here and grab the dial down, you know, to turn it down. And that, if the guest is talking, but in this case, it wouldn't do any good to turn it down because you're, while you're not in my office talking, you're at our house talking. And so you've got the same train. Anyway. We got about 6 minutes left. So anyway, taking care of a lot of people. I mean, you know, you say that you know you're not working. Wait a minute, we do this 2 days a week. How much of a job is this? I mean, isn't your
just to let you know, I used to go to school and take care of the house and take care of the job, 40-hour job, and take care of the church and do it all. But then my body gave out on me. So I've slowly but surely had to, and I'm stubborn. I don't want anybody in my kitchen. I don't want anybody doing my jobs. I can do them. I don't need help. You ask me, do I need help? And I'll say no, even if I have 50 million things to do and 5 minutes to do it, I still say no. You just got to jump in and do it. And people that know me have learned that about me. I'm just set in my ways, and recently I've got somebody to cook my eggs for me, but I'm having to do the clothes, and it's really hard on my shoulders and my neck, so I'm really needing somebody. If anybody's in the Wichita area and wants to volunteer, I'm needing somebody to come on Tuesdays and Fridays and do my clothes closet for me.
What do you mean by do the clothes closet?
Well, I go and pick up the clothes in Harper in their box. They box them. They rotate their store. They clean their store out. They box everything. They give it to me. I bring it to the mission. I have to go through it, put it in the clothes closet. I leave it there for a week, and whatever's not taken, I box it back, or I bag it back up because we put them on the bus. And that's where I store them when I clean out the closet until the bus is full, and then I take the bus over to the DAV store because that's the only place that I've found where I believe the cause. Even though it's all free to us and it's freely given from us, the DAV store, they sell their stuff very cheaply, and the money that they get for the stuff that they sell goes back to the disabled vets. They give it back to the vets. So that, I feel, is still a good thing to do, and the people that I get the donations of the clothes from know that, and they agree with that. So that's what I need. What I need is someone to come and take them from the boxes and put them into the clothes room, and then take them out of the clothes room and put them onto the bus. And that, and it's like from 1 to 4 on Tuesdays and Fridays. So, and it doesn't have to just be one person. Any help is better than me having to do it all by myself, because then I have been stuck. Like last Friday, I was doing the sandwiches. The girl that I had, my ex-daughter and all that, has been going with me, and she's about to have a baby, so I will be needing someone to do the sandwiches for me in the near future. Her baby's due in February, I think. But anyway, she was gone, and so I had to do the I had to go in and prep the tea, the coffee, you know, get everything set up, do the sandwiches, cook the dinner, and then I had to have everything done because it was Friday, and on Fridays we live 60 miles away, and my son, my 15-year-old, goes to school over here in Marion, and so I don't have a teenager to drive the kids to church because they've all grown and left home, so I have to make sure I leave there by 3 o'clock and come back and pick him up and come back for church on Friday. So I have to get there and get all of it done by 3 and then leave it to you and Craig or whoever you can recruit to help, and then I just have to trust that you guys get it done and leave, and that's hard for me to do. I think Friday I got out of there at 3:30 because I kept trying to do everything. It's like,
yeah, well, people can't imagine having 60 house guests twice a week, and it's, and I keep saying, you know, the 60 number isn't set in stone. Sometime, while it may be a little less, it's more than likely it ends up being more. I mean, we've been serving hot dogs because eggs been so expensive. What's the average hot dogs that we've been serving lately, from 1 to 3?
13 packs is what she's been doing, plus sometimes she does grilled cheese with them, but 13. I did them Tuesday, I think, or was that Friday? Whichever day I did it, I did 5 dozen eggs because I had you stop and get the eggs, and because they were on sale in Peabody for $1.99, and I bought the 5 dozen because I wanted to treat them. So You brought that, and then I did 5 dozen hot dogs with it on top of that, and then we did 60. You guys did 68 plates when I left, so the dinner plates isn't necessarily even the same people, because some of the people will come and fill up on sandwiches, take a few with them, and watch the movie, and then leave. And then it's the neighborhood that come. The people that come for dinner, they seem to know we serve at 4:30, and then they just keep coming until 6:30. And some people come even later than that. We've had them come when we're almost ready for church or leaving before they still come. So, yeah, it's the number's probably higher than that. We probably feed more people a day than 60, but the dinner plates is around 40 to 60, and sometimes higher.
Right, and 13, and there's, what, 8 hot dogs in a pack, right?
Some of them, it just depends on which ones you buy. Some of them are 8 and some of them are 10. It just depends.
Well, if they're 8, that's 124 hot dogs. So you guys,
yeah,
you folks
and,
think
and
about
I've
it.
And I've been getting the great big fat ones so that they get fuller faster. So.
Well, Mom, we've really run out of time. Tell everybody a final word to them, goodbye, you love them, whatever you want to say, and then I'm going to have to let you off so I can say our goodbye.
Thank you all for listening, and I pray that you all have a very, very healthy Thanksgiving, and that you all stay warm, and if you can help in any way possible, then pray about helping. Pray about it first, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, get it to us however you can. Thank you all.
Okay, bye-bye, Mom. I'll talk to you after a while. Be blessed. Bye-bye. Okay, folks, pray about supporting us for Thanksgiving. We really do need your help. You can donate online, check our money order, but, you know, it's getting down to the wire. If it's going to get here before Thanksgiving, we need it. But anyway, we got to get out of here. You must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.